All right, back here on the Big Show, hour number two. I'm Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, Tom E. Curran in the house. It is Patriots Friday. It is time for our weekly chat with the left tackle of the New England Patriots, Matt Light. Joins us live wearing his Halloween costume, I'm sure.
Yes, I look beautiful right now.
What are you going as Halloween this year? Because I'm sure after the game you'll probably go out. I think there are a lot of people handing out candy at like 11, 12 midnight.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually, if they could maybe stand out front with giant buckets. I'll come by. Definitely, I'll be wearing my princess outfit.
Excuse me?
I like to go. I'm a cross dresser at heart.
I was gonna ask you. Do you wear this on other occasions other than Halloween?
Yeah, Fridays.
Well, you know, I try to be festive throughout the entire year, but I only pull this out during the Halloween.
I was picturing you in camouflage of some sort, but now I have a whole different look at what you're about. Well done.
Thank you.
That princess outfit, because you've had a lot of different looks over the year, but when you've had the really hairy looks, that princess outfit probably looks special.
It does. It lends itself to more of the caveman type era.
But, yeah.
But I can pull off about anything in high heels now. I mean, I know it's hard to imagine, but I'm pretty good.
All right, let's talk about last week's game before we go to this one. What a strange game last week, huh?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. I mean, we obviously didn't get off to a real fast start, and like you want to when you play on the road, and we talked about that last week. You know, being able to go on the road, get off to a good start, and then keep the momentum rolling. But, you know, a win's a win. And however you look at it and say that, you know, they gave it to us or, you know, we tried to give it to them or however you want to bill it, we went on the road and got a win against a good team. So that's the best part of the whole thing. The rest of it needs a little bit of work.
Yeah, we had been complimenting you guys on the offensive line in the previous weeks for giving great protection to Tom Brady. I take it you probably are not as happy with your work this past week. Was there a breakdown in communication? What was going on in that they seemed to put some pressure on Tom and there seemed to be some breakdowns in the protection?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it was more just on an individual basis. You know, like myself, I mean, I got beat a couple of times. Should have never happened. I mean, it comes down to technique and doing everything right and being able to stay focused and do those things on an individual basis. I think it, you know, versus, you know, some big scheme thing that they did. I mean, really, they line up and play the way that they play, and that they don't really disguise it too much. And, you know, yeah, they're going to pressure you, and they're going to bring some things at you and throw things at you like any other team does, but really it came down to the individual matchups.
When you talk about that it shouldn't have happened, and you said it's a technique thing, Matt, what exactly on those plays? Because it's funny, you have some weeks where you are just locked down on some of the best pass rushes in the game, and there's predominantly, I think, throughout the season, you've been outstanding. And then what exactly are the lapses? Is it communication, technique? What exactly happens sometimes?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, not doing the right things. I mean, for offensive linemen, that's a multitude of things. You know, you got to have good footwork. You got to have good hand placement. You know, you got to be quick off the ball. And, you know, you can't let guys run the edge like, you know, what happened to me early in that game. And, you know, sometimes when those things happen, it becomes a mental thing. You know, now you start over-guessing things, whereas, you know, had you gone out there and just played your game and done what you needed to do, you wouldn't put yourself in those positions. So, you know, really, it's not ever just one thing. You know, there's usually a number of things that happen, and when you're not having success, and that's kind of what we fell into, especially early on.
Dan Connolly next year, he came out after halftime, and then Ryan Wendell came in. Was it just a general situation on that side of the line that needed addressing?
No, I mean, I think, you know, we've had guys filling in and doing, you know, roles like that, and whatever the situation was, you know, Dante wanted to, you know, get Wendell in there, and you know, he did a good job when he was in there. So, you know, Dan's done a great job this year as well, so I don't think it was anything personal.
Matt, what's the type of outside rusher there that gives you the biggest problems? Is it the power rusher? Is it the smaller, faster, quicker guys? How do you look at both those types of rushers?
Well, you know, I think when you're looking at the speed guys, you know, they present a number of problems. I mean, getting out to the junction point and trying to get your hands on them before they can go into their second or, you know, third move is really important. And I think everybody, regardless of what their body type is, can struggle with guys that have, you know, really good speed off the edge. And then, you know, but, you know, I think really it comes down to the individual and how well they do what they do. I mean, some guys are really fast, but, you know, they're just running up the field to run up the field because they have a lot of speed, and they don't really have, you know, the second or third move to really make that an effective rush unless a guy just completely whiffs on them. So, you know, and then you have some guys that are bull rushers, but they don't, you know, they don't do it the way that some other guys do. And I think what you see this week and what we face with the Vikings is that, you know, these guys, you know, they've been in the league for a while now. You know, guys like Jared Allen, a guy like Ray Edwards. I mean, these guys have been around for a while. The Williams brothers inside, you know, they're not that they're brothers, but, you know, these guys, they've been playing the game for a long time. And so you have to gear up for a number of things. It's not just one particular move. It's not just a speed rush or a bull rush. You have to be able to defend it all. So, you know, and that's what the good ones do. You know, they have a multitude of moves that they can throw on you. And, you know, really, I think it comes down to the individual that's doing those.
It seems like the key, though, to the Vikings defense is this front four. If this front four can establish what they want to do, everything seems to work for them defensively. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it's really accurate. I think that they're, you know, the linebackers fly around and make a lot of plays based on what those guys up front do as well, and not taking anything away from them because they're really good players. So, you know, I think this is a big challenge for us playing at home. You know, against a team like this, you want to go out there and you can't make the mistakes that we've made some of them in the past. You know, whether it's, you know, a little breakdown here, one guy there. We all got to be hitting on all cylinders. And you know, we got to be able to hopefully establish, you know, our game plan early and not become one-dimensional.
What does Jared Allen do that's unique, and why are his numbers down? Is he still getting plenty of pressure, but just the sack numbers are down?
Yeah, I mean, those numbers really don't tell the story. I mean, they hardly ever do, whether they're really high or really low. So I think a guy like Jared, you know, he's doing everything that they could ask him to do in that defense. I mean, he's getting a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks that might not always, you know, equal a sack or, you know, a statistic that's glaring for everybody out there. But, you know, he's doing some really good things for him, like he always does. And he's got a great motor, and he's the kind of guy that just never quits, you know. And he's very adept at doing, you know, the things in the line of scrimmage that can free him up and, you know, get him past some of the double teams or, you know, working an edge on a guy here or there. So it'll be a good test.
They're way down in their sack totals compared to years before. Do you expect them trying anything differently, some new blitzes, some different looks?
You know, I wouldn't think so. I mean, you never know. We've gone into some games saying, well, this team will never do this, and they do it. But, you know, I think a team like this, with the players that they have and the coaches and everything else, I think they're going to stick with what they do. I mean, they've played guys really tough, and you know, they've made it difficult on offenses, and you know, so we're gonna have to, you know, battle at everything we get, and hopefully, like I said again, you know, come out and have a good, you know, first quarter, a good first half, and build on it after halftime.
Do you see a different approach by teams that are in a desperate mode? I guess you could say San Diego was in a desperate mode last week. They had to win that game. Minnesota comes in, and looking at their division right now, this is probably a desperate game for them.
Well, I mean, I think it's still kind of early for all that. I think, you know, if you're sitting in their position, you know, they definitely want to get a win on the road, and every team's going to be fighting for position within their division and everything else. But I don't think it'll really necessarily change how they do business. I mean, if you got a back like they do, if you have some of the receivers they do, you're not going to try to reinvent the wheel. You're just going to try to do what you do better, and that's what we're working on too.
You guys have had a tremendous track record here at home. And in the NBA, to me, it's easy to figure out why home teams dominate. The crowd is right on top of you. Young players don't seem to perform as well when people are, you know, screaming F-bombs at them. Hey. Plus, you've got the officials, and the officials seem to react differently based on what they hear. But why do we hear it in the NFL? Is it the sound when the offense is out there on the field, out in the road, that causes some problems? I mean, why is it that teams, we're starting to see more and more of this, certainly you guys do it, dominate at home, a little bit different out on the road?
Well, it's a number of things, really. I mean, some of it you have to look at a little bit of the routine. You know, you're not traveling, you're at home, you can, you know, you're going through your normal pregame rituals like you normally would versus being on the road where you don't have some of those you know, some of the amenities you do at home, and then, you know, obviously it's the crowd, and the crowd, whether they think so or not, they can definitely have an impact on the game. Now, it's not going to be the deciding factor by any means, but, you know, when you make it hard for an offense to communicate, when you make it hard for, you know, the center and the guys up front on the line and the quarterback communication, when you make that tough, and then you see where, you know, there's a false start here, and now they're in a second long situation, and now they're in third and long or third and medium, and they're not converting these third downs, you can see where it can start to have a longer-term effect as the game goes on. So, you know, I think the home crowd, and if you have a really good one, it can be effective in helping the home team win the game.
Matt, I got a question. It's a little bit off the topic what we've been going through, but with concussions being at the forefront, most of it is focused on the open field and guys having violent collisions that are flash plays in the middle of the field. But when we talk about the number of times the clash of heads that a player like you goes through over the course of a career, do you ever feel as if, okay, they were talking about taking perhaps the three-point stance out of the NFL to help prevent the clash of heads. That's one of the ideas. I swear to you, I'm telling you, everybody in the two-point stance. What's your overall view on the direction of the game in terms of trying to protect the player's health, A, and then B, what else could be done to protect guys along the lines?
You know, I mean, I don't really know what can be done to help protect guys any further. I mean, you still got to line up and play the game of football. And I think that, you know, like any other profession, if you get in, you know, to a certain role or a certain position, there's certain things that come with that. And yeah, there's a danger for any guy that's playing the game, whether it's, you know, at the Pop Warner level or in the NFL, that, you know, you could walk away with a serious injury, let alone a concussion, you know. So I'm not sure how you regulate that, and I sure as heck wouldn't want to be on that committee. But I think at the end of the day, as long as we're continually looking at player safety and trying to be as proactive as we can, you know, we've got a great group of doctors that are working with, you know, the league and also with colleges and people, you know, around the country to try to make sure that we have the best equipment possible and that, you know, the rules of the game favor it being as safe as it can. I think other than that, there's not much you can do. I don't think we're going to get into anything ridiculous where, you know, we can't put our hand in the ground and play the game of football. But
cover your heads, you know, with Nerf.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of, some of it's probably beyond comical. But, you know, the guys up front, you know, a lot of the focus is on some of these big hits, you know, on the receivers and the guys out of the secondary and things like that. But, you know, I can remember getting a little bit of an education from some of the doctors that come and talk to us. And some of the repeated hits the guys take up front over a long-term kind of effect really, really can take a toll on guys. And you don't think about that. You don't think when you're playing, you know, okay, I took a little hit here, a little hit there. You know, it wasn't anything devastating. But sometimes those can play a role in it too. So I think it's really comes down to each guy being educated as to what the symptoms are, what to expect, and then ultimately how to take care of it.
All right, Matt, have a good week. Good game on Sunday. Good Halloween in that princess costume. We'll be looking
for
that.
Say hi to Randy.
And make sure you say hi to Randy, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, no doubt. Look forward to it.
All right, see you later.
Thanks, Matt. Family.
Quick break, and then we'll get right back to your phone calls at 617-779-0850, talking about the Patriots game coming up Sunday and a little skirmish at Celts practice today.